Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be catching up on movies with you guys. Today, I'm going to be reviewing several movies all right in a row. I haven't done a catching up on movies episode in quite a while. If you don't know, I used to do this kind of as a series a while back, but it was ultimately I was trying to like review every single thing I ever saw, and it was like it was kind of unnecessary and it maybe a bit excessive, and I just kind of pulled back on that whole idea. But just recently, my computer died actually, and you may have noticed a couple episodes ago that there was a big gap between episodes with like over a month. Long gap between episodes, and that was because my computer died. I had a hard time getting a new computer. Ultimately, now I have a new computer, and of course, right when my computer dies is right when movies actually start coming out that I want to see. Movies that I'm going to review today, including A Quiet Place Part 2, Army of the Dead, Cruella, Conjuring 3, and Wrath of Man. Oh, and also Mortal Kombat. So all those movies came out while my computer died, and I didn't really have a good way to review them. And so I was like, man, it's right when movies that I really wanted to see and wanted to talk about on the podcast started coming out is when my computer died. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to gather up all these ones and could review them all at once here instead of just passing by on them or trying to give each one its own episode, which would just, it would take too long. It would never ultimately end up actually happening. So one big, you know, catching up on movies episode here. So let's just jump into it with the first movie, A Quiet Place Part 2.
I don't know why he came all the way up here. There's nothing left.
There are people out there. People worth saving.
Most people had finally given up hope.
A Quiet Place, Part 2. Following the events at home, the Abbott family now face the terrors of the outside world. Forced to venture into the unknown, they realize the creatures that hunt by sound are not the only threats lurking beyond the sand path. I loved the first Quiet Place movie. Man, that is such an intense edge of your seat movie with a great emotional core, a great heart in that movie, really attaching you to those characters. And so I was extremely excited for A Quiet Place Part 2. And this one, it lives up to the title Part 2. When you name something Part 2, this should be very much just the next step, like right the next exact things that happen. And this is very much just the very next things that happened following that first movie. Very much just the next natural step moving forward in the Quiet Place series. And I loved this movie, man. This was absolutely fantastic. This retained so much of what I loved about that first movie. First off, this is extremely intense. This is the nail-biting, edge-of-your-seat experience. And, you know, and with these monsters that, you know, they can't see but they can hear, there's so much opportunity for, you know, in extremely intense scenarios, and they definitely capitalize on that. You know, they're there, you're trying to move around and not make noise, or make noise in the proper place so you can distract them or whatever. You know, you're trying to use their, like, weaknesses against them and making these very intense, exciting sequences, and man, this movie does not let up. It is tension filled pretty much from beginning to end, man. It is edge of your seat movie making. And The characters are back. You know, most of the characters here are the same from the first movie, and they're still fantastic. You know, they're great characters that you really latch onto. You really like. They're very down to earth, real kind of feeling characters, and they're relatable characters. They're characters that you can latch onto. They're characters that you can understand, and they're characters that they continue to develop. They to continue to give them new things to do, and to for you to kind of think about and to understand with these characters. And they do a lot of stuff with these. Like there's some more kind of flashback sequences to I guess modern day or whatever, back to, you know, but kind of before the monsters hit and stuff. I guess it both gives you a little bit more insight into the very beginning of this, you know, kind of post-apocalyptic scenario, but also it gives you a little bit different of a look at these characters, a look at these characters more in a normal, everyday kind of life before they were thrown into this horrible kind of scenario. And then we got new characters in here. You know, we got Cillian Murphy in here playing somebody named Emmett. Absolutely fantastic. Cillian Murphy is such a great actor, and his character in here, very interesting. Going into this movie, I was wondering, okay, are they really going to blow this up and make this like way bigger, way more characters? Because it seems like they were, you know, adding new actors, and there's definitely some new people in here. There's definitely some new characters, but they are worked in the story in a very natural way. They're worked in the story in a way that really works. Because I was wondering, you know, one of the things that makes that first movie so great is its very small scope. It's very small scale. It is a very intimate story about this family and kind of the family relationship, and is the family relationship is struggling between the father and the daughter, and you know, that kind of working through that. And so I was wondering, okay, bringing in other characters, a bunch of like random other characters, how is this gonna work? And especially with Cillian Murphy, the way they bring this character in is so smooth and just so flawlessly brought in. And I think he's a great character. Dimijan Hounsou is in here playing somebody, and and he's also great. And really, I mean, there's some other people in here, but those are the main two connections that we have outside of the core cast of characters. And they're both great characters, especially Cillian Murphy's character in here. Just a really great dynamic added with these people, and a great character arc with this character in particular. I will say this about this movie. Overall, I like the first movie better, and a large part of that is the character arcs. In the first movie, every single character had their own arc, you know? So this one, there's a few characters that have arcs, but it seems like there's also a couple characters in here that are a little bit more stagnant, a little bit less of a character arc in here. And so while they're still good characters and they're still compelling characters, and when they're in danger, it makes everything, you know, even more intense because I like these characters. The actual character arcs in this movie, well, for some of the characters, I found less interesting. Whereas in the first one, I think every single character's story arc, I think there was more character arcs and they all worked better and flowed better ultimately as a movie as a whole. Whereas this one, I guess we have a couple characters that are remain a little bit more stagnant, I guess. We learn a little bit more about the monsters in this movie, which is very cool. I don't want to spoil anything, so I won't really go into it, but some of the more mythology and stuff they kind of build around this a little bit is very cool. And I think one of the positive things about the previous movie is that it doesn't tell you much about the monsters. And so, you know, I think this is the kind of movie where not having much information about the monsters and stuff is perfectly fine, because that's not the point of the story. That's not the point of the movie. The point of the movie is those characters and that character's, you know, the dynamic inside the family. That's really what makes these two movies really good. That said, them adding some more lore with these monsters without going, you know, crazy about it without, you know, having to do anything crazy with that, but still adding some layers to these monsters is very cool. And plus, these are just cool monsters. I mean, they're just big, intimidating, extremely powerful, and, you know, the fact, you know, the whole kind of gimmick of having to be silent and everything, just, they're really, really great monsters. They're very, very cool. Overall, A Quiet Place 2, I found a lot of fun, very good characters, very good action, a really, really intense and just good, a great, great monster movie and a great follow-up to the first one. I do overall enjoy the first one better, but this is definitely a worthy follow-up in my opinion. Fantastic stuff. All right, now let's move on to Army of the Dead.
You ready to play?
There's $200 million in the vault beneath the strip. With a 32-hour window to get it out. Find the safe. This should be a simple in and out.
It's not too late to go back.
Army of the Dead. Following a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, a group of mercenaries take the ultimate gamble, venturing into the quarantine zone to pull off the greatest heist ever attempted. Oh yeah, this is the new Zack Snyder movie, and this is a Zack Snyder movie through and through. This is Zack Snyder unleashed, you know. This is the true Zack Snyder coming out in this movie. And if you like that, you're probably gonna like this movie. If you're not into Zack Snyder's movies, then you're probably not gonna like this movie. Pretty much simple as that, I think. This movie, I like Zack Snyder's movies. I like his weirdness that he brings to his movies. This movie kind of reminds me of Guardians of the Galaxy. It's very fun. It's a fun, entertaining movie. It's got good characters. It's got fun characters. It's got entertaining characters. You know, you got this big, diverse group of characters here played by a bunch of actors. You like these characters. You're along for the ride. The style, it's very kind of flashy and fun, very stylish. But ultimately, it's not very deep. It's very surface level stuff, very much like Guardians of the Galaxy is. It's fun, it's flashy, it's entertaining, and you have a great time watching it, but ultimately, it's not like there's going to be a ton there for you to ponder as you continue forward, really. I think Guardians of the Galaxy maybe had the more flowery characters in some ways, the more flashy characters, just very much because of what the actual characters were. You know, you got a talking raccoon, you got a talking tree, you know, Yondu's this blue alien, Gamora's this green alien. So, you know, they pop visually more than probably the characters in Army of the Dead. But ultimately, in my mind anyway, this is very similar of a style to that movie, where it's a ride. It's a ride to watch this thing, you know, theme park kind of ride to watch this thing, where you're in it, you're having a blast, you're having a lot of fun. Is this gonna, you know, change movie making or anything? No, not at all. But if you like Zack Snyder's weirdness, you're gonna like this movie. First off, I love the premise to this movie, man. There's a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, and so this group of mercenaries, they're gonna go in and they're gonna steal all this money at this casino, because, I mean, why not? It's gonna, like, it's all in the zombie apocalypse inside there. It's not like anybody's using it or anything. It's like it's such a fantastic kind of heist idea with a zombie apocalypse going on, but it's not like the whole world is just completely ravished kind of zombie apocalypse. So there's still a purpose to go and get the money kind of thing. Very, very fun idea. And ultimately, it's executed pretty well, I think. I think it's a lot of fun. The story, again, it's nothing amazing. It's fairly surface level, ultimately. But it's very entertaining. It keeps you engaged the entire time. time. And the dynamic between the characters is really kind of what holds this together ultimately, because you have this big, diverse group of characters and actors, Dave Bautista in here leading this group of mercenaries in here. And you kind of have, all the archetypes in there. You know, you got the crazy off the wall guy, you got the government guy that's kind of the straight suited, he's brought into this team in kind of a, you know, questionable way or whatever, but he's like, you know, we can't question the orders or whatever. The Stone Cold Killer, and you know, those kind of, you kind of get all of those dynamics that you get in this kind of movie, and they play off each other really well. They're a lot of fun, they're a blast to watch, and their dynamic, you know, their interplay between the characters is very fun and kind of goofy. This is a kind of movie that doesn't take itself very seriously. It's over the top, it's ridiculous. It knows that it's like just kind of a big budget B movie kind of thing, you know, and it just has fun with it, and it's a lot of fun. It's exciting. There's some fantastic action sequences in here. Some sequences with like big zombie horde and then having to kind of fight their way out of this thing, you know. It's like there's some really great action sequences and set pieces going on in this movie, which is something else that Zack Snyder is always very good at. And so, you know, the style of it is very fun. The soundtrack is great. Again, like Guardians of the Galaxy, it has a lot of, you know, pop songs kind of stuff going on in there. You know, just a good, fun soundtrack that kind of adds a lot of, I guess just adds a lot of entertainment value to the overall movie, and with the way that some of these songs and stuff fits in here. There's definitely some kind of leaps of logic in here. There's some things that happen that you're like, wait a minute, how does that work? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So there's some kind of weird stuff like that going on. And ultimately, like I said, it's not a particularly deep movie. It's more just the you get in, you have a blast, and you get out kind of thing. And so it's not like it's going to be one that will leave you thinking for a long time. But I think it's really cool. And I think some of the world building in here is very cool. I think that the world building is very interesting because, again, like I said, this is Zack Snyder uncaged, you know, this is him unrestricted, and you all know Zack Snyder's like, you know, he's definitely a geek, and he's definitely into all that kind of comic booky kind of stuff. You know, you've seen Watchmen, you've seen 300, the kind of stuff that he slips in there. This one is not based on any previous material, I don't think. Maybe, is it based on the Dawn of the Dead kind of stuff going on? This is, as far as I can tell, this is not at all connected to his Dawn of the Dead movie. I think this is just 100% completely original, but he's definitely throwing in things in here that it almost seems like comic book references or something to some bigger thing going on that's just kind of in the background that's thrown in there, but then it's like, this isn't based on anything, I don't think. So it's like, what is it referencing? Are we going to see more in a sequel? Hopefully, because I would love to see a sequel to this. And it's just, so I think the world building in here is very cool. And I mean, ultimately, like I said, this is uncaged Zack Snyder. And if that sounds good to you, check this out. And if you're not a fan of Zack Snyder, then this is probably one you can pass on and be just fine. Okay, the next movie we're going to talk about here is Cruella.
From the very beginning, I realized I saw the world differently than everyone else. That didn't sit well with some people. But I wasn't for everyone. I guess they were always scared that I'd be a psycho.
Cruella. Before she becomes Cruella de Vil, teenage Estella, through a series of unfortunate events, ends up homeless on the streets of London, and she is, you know, growing up in the streets of London, she has to become a criminal to survive, but then the opportunity of a lifetime rears its head when she gets the opportunity to work at a fashion design place, and she can, you know, design outfits for this big high-profile fashion designer, which was always her dream. And, you know, things don't all go right. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a movie here and she wouldn't become the villain that we all know as Cruella de Vil in 101 Dalmatians. Now, I've seen 101 Dalmatians. I've seen it quite a few times when I was a kid. I don't remember it too well. It's kind of a vague memory for me, but I have seen it several times, and it's, from what I remember of that movie, Cruella de Vil wasn't... She is a fashion designer, I guess, because she wanted to kill the dogs to make a coat, right? So that was kind of her whole shtick in 101 Dalmatians. So, you know, I guess that fits here. I don't remember her being a fashion designer, really, other than, I guess, you know, she wanted to kill the dogs to make a coat. So I didn't even think of that. But I guess that makes sense. From what I remember, though, she didn't act like this. This is like the Harley Quinn version of Cruella de Vil. Kind of strange. Emma Stone playing Cruella de Vil here does a fantastic job. I mean, she is great in this kind of quirky, weird, funny kind of character. Very entertaining. A very good performance from Emma Stone. And she really kind of pulls it off. Her being a teenager, I don't know about that, but she ultimately pulls off this role, and I really enjoyed her in this role. And Emma Thompson is the Baroness, is the lady that gives her a job, but is ultimately kind of the villainous kind of character. You know, you can see that right from the beginning. And right off the bat, I mean, maybe I should have expected this. This was more cartoony than I was expecting. But I mean, judging from the sourced material, it's like this, I guess this should have been obvious, right? But this definitely is more cartoony than I was expecting. It's definitely a kid's movie. But it's not like Maleficent. Maleficent wasn't that cartoony. That's based on, you know, the old cartoon, right? But it's, that one was taken a little bit more seriously. This one's more goofy. This one's more comedic. This one's more funny. And which is fine. It's just, I guess it just wasn't exactly what I was expecting in that department. So, you know, okay, this is for younger viewers than something like Maleficent was. Though, I mean, Maleficent, I don't think was for too old viewers. But anyway, the comedy is decent. The comedy's, you know, it's pretty funny. I didn't laugh all that much, to be honest, but it kept it lighthearted and it kept it fun throughout the whole thing, you know? So it's not like I was laughing the whole time, but it was kind of, you know, it kept you smiling and it kept you having a good time, even if you weren't laughing at all the jokes. The story of this thing is pretty fun. You know, again, it's not really what I would have thought of for Cruella de Vil, but ultimately it kind of makes sense, you know, going with this whole dress designer kind of shtick for this thing. Like, the whole fashion show business and designing all the high-profile dresses and all that kind of stuff, that is, like, so far not at all what I'm even remotely interested in. But this movie does it in a way that is very fun. It's very flashy. It's done in a way where it's very entertaining, even if you're not at all into that kind of thing. And this is something that I think, if a young girl watches this movie, I think she, you know, this could inspire her to become, you know, a fashion designer or something. You know, this seems like the kind of movie that I could see young girls watching and going, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to design these, you know, crazy cool dresses and all this kind of stuff, you know. So that's pretty cool. That said, this movie, I don't know if this is the best movie to show your kids, honestly, because this, I guess they need to be old enough that you can talk to them about certain things in this movie. I mean, first off, this is the origin story of Cruella de Vil, right? She's a villain. She's a bad guy. You know, this is like, okay, just first off, making a villain movie. You can make a villain movie and make it good and stuff, but you shouldn't be showing your kids Joker, right? Because that movie's screwed up. But that's an adult villain movie. That's a villain movie that is made for adults. Don't take your kids to Halloween. When I went to see Halloween, there was people taking their kids. Don't do that. That's a movie about a dude that slaughters a bunch of people, you know? Cruella's not that evil, but she's a bad guy. She's not a good character. She's not a good role model for kids to follow in the footsteps of, right? So it's like, I guess I find it kind of strange having this character that is very appealing to kids. She is very She's very fun. She's very entertaining to watch. And so it's like she's a very fun character and a character that kids will definitely latch onto if they watch this movie. But she's not really the kind of character that you would want your kids growing up to be like, you know? And so it's, I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing. I guess it's the kind of thing where, you know, after you watch it, it might be the kind of thing where you go, okay, now see what she was doing here. This is not good. Or this, you know, this big defiance of adults, or this big, you know, some of these kind of things that they throw in here of her being bad, because ultimately she has to end up being Cruella de Vil, right? She has to end up being this kind of evil character so she can be the evil character when 101 Dalmatians storyline comes along, right? So I don't know, I find that kind of weird, kind of odd, but ultimately I guess that's up to you taking your kid in, what you think of that. Another aspect of this that I think is not great for kids is that there is a character in here that is, that they never explicitly say, but this dude is homosexual. This guy, he dresses with like the highlights in his hair in a way that looks like a girl, and he dresses like a girl. And this dude's pretty much just gay. They never say it outright, but that's what's going on here. And that's also something that we shouldn't be teaching our kids is okay, because it's represented in this movie as like, oh yeah, that's cool, that's fun, that's okay, it's a good thing. And ultimately it's not, you know, the Bible has some harsh things to say about men who dress in women's clothes. So that's not okay. So ultimately Cruella is entertaining. It's a fun movie. I enjoyed it, though I didn't ultimately like love it. If they come out with a sequel, I'll see it, because again, it was entertaining. It was fun. And it's, you know, it's a good time to watch, but again, with some of those elements in there and it being marketed towards young kids, I don't know that this is the best, morally best movie to be showing your young kids, unless you can, they're old enough and you can go along with them and explain to them how certain aspects of this is wrong, or you're like, you see, okay, this character, this is wrong, or this is wrong, you know, which is, I mean, if you're a parent with a kid, you should probably be doing that with your kids with entertainment anyways, but hey, you know, it is what it is, right? but that's my thoughts on Cruella. Let's move on to not a kids movie here, Conjuring 3.
Residents of Brookfield were shocked this afternoon by the broad daylight murder of Bruno Sahls.
Court accepts the existence of God every time a witness swears to tell the truth. I think it's about time they accept the existence of the devil.
Whatever was going on, whatever happened that day, that was not Arnie.
It's a witch's totem. We think your family was cursed. And that connection's still open.
The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. Ed and Lorraine Warren fight for the soul of a young boy, and it takes them beyond anything they've ever seen before, and it marks the first time in U.S. history that a murder suspect would claim demonic possession as a defense. This is an interesting movie. First off, the title, I'm just gonna get this out of the way. I mean, I understand The Devil Made Me Do It, and it's he's saying, hey, I was possessed, that's why I shouldn't be charged for these murders or whatever. And okay, I get the title, but I hate that title. That's so stupid. Just call it The Conjuring 3. That would be better. What in the world? All right, moving past the title, which does not affect the actual amount I like or dislike this movie. this is a really interesting concept for a horror haunting possession kind of movie. And it's based on the Warrens, it's based on real people, and you know, whether you believe these stories happened, whether you believe they didn't, whether you believe this is just a really souped up crazy version of their stories or whatever. I don't exactly know what to believe with them myself. I'm sure there was some weird demonic kind of stuff going on with them, but I don't know. I don't know what was going on with the Warrens, okay? So I'm just kind of leave that aspect out of it to a certain extent. I'm reviewing this movie as a fictional movie, because that's kind of how I watch movies generally. So I think this is a really interesting idea for a horror movie, because unlike the first two Conjuring movies, both those Conjuring movies, they're haunted possession movies. You know, the house seems haunted. One of the characters gets possessed and, you know, it's kind of going crazy. Oh my goodness, what's going on? And then they, you know, get somebody in there, cast out a demon, blah, blah, blah. There we go. And those two movies are fantastic, man. The first two Conjuring movies, some of my favorite horror movies of all time. Absolutely fantastic. Those two were very similar, and this one changes up the format. And it's interesting. I've never seen this, because it's like, it's a horror movie that the horror happens mostly kind of in the past. And, you know, there's still some weird horror kind of stuff going on in the present, too. But like, the horror stuff's going on in the past, and you experience some of that through Lorraine Warren, who has the you know, powers to see the spirits and stuff. But I've never seen a horror movie that's set up in this way, where they're just kind of trying to collect the evidence to make the case that this is what happened. And it's interesting. It's an interesting different take, and I liked that they were trying to go for something different here. But if I'm being honest though, I was disappointed with this movie, man. Starting off with the positives, so I liked the premise. I think that's an interesting idea. The Warrens are still great. I Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, absolutely fantastic in these roles. They really nail these performances. And a lot of this is kind of stuff, you know, I liked these characters in the previous two movies, and that affinity for those characters is being carried forward into this third movie, and so I still like them, and I still am kind of, you know, rooting for these characters, you know. So I mean that's a large part of why I like them and these characters. But this was not nearly on the level of those first two movies. And I was worried about this, because this is not directed by James Wan. This is not directed by the guy who directed the first two Conjuring movies, the Insidious movies, you know, a lot of these really good horror movies that this guy directs. This guy is a master horror filmmaker. And now, you know, moving on to The Conjuring 3, we got some other guy directing this one, and it can't match up. It can't match up to the stellar Conjuring 1 and 2. At all, in my opinion. I mean, first off, this isn't nearly as scary as the previous two movies. It just, you know, it's got some creepiness to it, and there's some moments and stuff, but it's over-reliant on jump scares, which is not what the Conjuring movies were. The Conjuring movies had some jump scares, but they had this good, slow buildup of tension that just, he would pull throughout the whole movie, and just that really great buildup of tension where you're kind of constantly on the edge of your seat. And then when the jump scares happen, the buildup was so good that they, you know, the jump scares are effective because of the way it all built up and everything. That's not the case here. There's little buildups and then jump scares. There's too many jump scares. The buildup doesn't work as well. And it's not nearly as scary as the first two movies. And it's not all that scary in my opinion. So it fails in that aspect as a horror movie. In some ways, it's almost more like an action movie take on the Conjuring movies, which is weird, because it's just, there's like sequences where like, there's the one sequence that's in the trailer, so I'm not going to spoil anything, because I'm only going to say what's in the trailer, okay? So there's a sequence where Lorraine Warren is standing on the edge of a cliff, and Ed Warren is there, and then somehow she kind of falls off the cliff and he has to grab her. And it's like this, action, exciting sequence. And there's multiple sequences that are more in that vein of like action, exciting sequences, as opposed to the horror sequences that make those first movies, you know, that is part of what makes those first movies so great. And it's a bummer. It's a bummer because, I mean, yes, you got to change things up. You got to do things differently. I think, you know, changing up the story structure makes sense, but changing up the very nature of how the scares and everything are in the movie, it just, that didn't work for me at all. And it's a bummer. Another bummer in here is that the first two movies, I think, had really solid kind of Christian messages in here, some good biblical ideas in here. They're very Catholic movies, which I have, you know, problems with the Catholicism and stuff, but the messages that these movies were portraying specifically, for the most part, aren't where I have issues with the Catholic Church. There's some points in here, you know. But anyway, I think the overarching messages of those movies aren't necessarily the points of conflict that I have with the Catholic Church. So I think there's some good messages in those movies, and some good kind of positive Christian messages in those movies. And this one, no. This is no. God doesn't have anything to do with this movie. The Bible doesn't have anything to do with this movie. That's not what defeats the evil in the end. What defeats the evil is the power of love. You know, the power of these people that love each other, the power of these people that love other people. No, that it's so annoying to me. It is so annoying. After the first two movies, you know, it being the power of God that casts the demons out and stuff. And you know, there is some weird stuff in the first two movies about, like, you know, them trying to, you know, oh, you talk to your son and try to reach him and, you know, see if you can get him to come out or whatever. But they're still, like, praying over him. It's the power of God, ultimately, that casts the demon out, right? But this is not the power of God. It's the power of love that just kills demons and stuff, I guess. What in the world? It's so stupid. It's so annoying. It's so irritating. And I hated that. I hated that so much. Because those first two were so good. They were so good in that aspect. And then this one just flunks that so hard. And it's such a bummer. Man, it's such a bummer. Okay. Ultimately, this movie isn't terrible. It's fine. It's okay. If you liked the other ones and you're gonna watch this one, you know, I wouldn't discourage you from watching this one. It's a decent one. It's just, it's easily the worst of the Conjuring trilogy. And ultimately, like, the Annabelle Creation I would put above this one. I don't know, the Nun I might even put above this one, honestly. You know, I guess also the first two, you know, they had a lot of sequences of, like, the Warrens, like, helping the family and stuff, like, because that's something I really liked about those previous ones too, is that they presented these characters in a way that, like, Christian characters, honestly, because, like, yes, they're helping them with their demon problems or whatever, but but they're also helping them, you know, like, they help them, the sink is leaking, and, you know, Ed Warren helps fix the sink, and you know, Lorraine is helping take care of the kids, and some of this kind of stuff. They're helping them in a very kind of practical aspect, as well as helping with the whole possession and stuff like that going on. Whereas this one kind of strips that stuff back. They're more of your generic, you know, demon hunting kind of people, I guess, you know, that are still somewhat, you know, the same characters, but they strip back on some of that kind of stuff, and it's disappointing. It's a bummer. It's not a terrible movie. It's decent. It's okay, but it's such a disappointment coming off of two really, really strong horror movies in so many respects, and then just coming down to this, coming down to a fairly average horror movie, ultimately. Not a bad one. There's a lot of garbage horror movies. It's not a garbage horror movie. It's just a fairly generic, kind of plain horror movie. Doesn't do a lot that pushes it up above average, in my opinion. Which is a bummer, coming out of a series that is above average, you know? It's a bummer. It's a bummer. That's my thoughts on Conjuring 3. Let's talk about The Wrath of Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new addition. H.
Portico Security, specialized in cash trucks across LA.
Do you have any idea how dangerous this job can be?
Some idea, yeah.
We ain't the predators, we're the prey.
You ready?
Ready.
This is your temporary sidearm.
What happens if we're pulling pistols in a machine gun fight?
Do you have a problem?
I don't know. Do I?
Wrath of Man. Wrath of Man follows H, played by Jason Statham, a cold and mysterious character who's working for a cash truck company responsible for moving hundreds of millions of dollars around Los Angeles each week. And there's this group of people that are trying to steal the money, obviously. And Jason Statham's character here, H, is he's not all that he seems. There's obviously something more going on with this character. But what more is going on with this character is something that you got to figure out along the way. Now, I was extremely excited to watch this movie for one reason only, really, and that's Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie directed this movie, and I love Guy Ritchie's movies, man. His movies, The Gentleman, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies, Snatch. He makes a lot of movies that are very fun, very witty, very clever, and the dialogue is always very snappy and kind of funny and fun, you know? Just a really great style that this guy has. And this movie, this is the most different Guy Ritchie movie that I've ever seen. I mean, it still definitely has that Guy Ritchie wit in here. But normally that wit is maybe a little bit more extreme, maybe turned up a little bit more in a way where it's a little bit more comedic. And there's some kind of comedic dialogue between some of the characters a little bit in here, but this movie, it's much more serious than I was expecting. The first like 15 minutes of this movie, I'm gonna say I found kind of corny, because they were doing some of the comedic dialogue, but it was, I don't know, I found some of that comedic dialogue in like the first 15 minutes kind of corny. Once kind of the intro to the movie, once he gets kind of going here a little bit, then that stuff fades away a little bit, and we have this much more serious take on a movie than most of Guy Ritchie's movies are. You know, less heavily dependent on this just witty banter between the characters, and a little bit more dependent on the story of what is going on with H. Who is H? Why is he actually here? Because it's a constant question throughout the movie as you learn more and more stuff about him as he goes throughout the movie. Instead of, you know, being focused on the witty banter and the dialogue and very dialogue driven kind of movie to a certain extent with some of his movies, this one definitely has more of a focus on the story, the reveals, and like what's going on here, because there's constantly something that you're questioning, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed trying to figure out what's going on and why, you know, he's doing some of the things that he's doing. Ultimately, it's nothing too outstanding as far as the story goes, but it's definitely entertaining. It's definitely fun, and it keeps you questioning the whole time, and it keeps you wondering, and I enjoyed figuring out this stuff out as you go along here. Jason Statham in here is just the strong, silent Jason Statham type, and I like this actor. And then when it comes to the action, dude, he is great at action, because you got Jason Statham just fighting groups of the enemies at points in this movie. It's honestly, it's some of these sequences like reminded me of the sequence in the Punisher TV show, like where the Punisher's in the warehouse just taking out tons of people, you know, awesome sequence in the TV show. There's sequences in this that kind of remind me of that, just brutal, in your face, like this man on a mission driven kind of action that is very cool, very exciting. And the score in this movie is great, man. It is loud. It's almost overpowering at points. Maybe even pushing it a little bit too far at points. But it is loud, driving, kind of impactful score that was really effective and really kind of heart pounding at points when it needs to be. And very, very good stuff. Ultimately, this isn't one of my favorite Guy Ritchie movies. I enjoyed this. This is a good time, but this isn't one of his best. This is kind of him going in a little bit more of a different direction. And hey, cool, you know, go in those different directions, try different things out. This is fun. This is entertaining. I would definitely recommend it if you're a action movie fan or if you're a fan of Guy Ritchie. But this isn't like his best movie or anything. But it's still a good time. Wrath of Man. Check it out. Now for the final movie here, we'll be talking about Mortal Kombat.
First learned about this 7 years ago. On a mission in Brazil to capture a wanted fugitive. When we got there, it tore through our unit in seconds. The target had superhuman abilities. It had the same marking you do, Cole.
It's a birthmark.
What do you mean?
He was born with it.
It's not a birthmark, Cole. It means you've been chosen.
Mortal Kombat! Oh yeah. MMA fighter Cole Young seeks out Earth's greatest champions in order to stand against the enemies of Outworld in a high-stakes battle for the universe. This is based on the video game Mortal Kombat. Of course, I've played one of them. I've played Mortal Kombat X through that story, and so it's like... that story, it was very much like it threw me in the middle of a big story, and I kind of... I could catch some things that was going on, but I there was a lot of stuff that was like kind of went over my head because I did not know what some of the stuff that was happening was. So I have a vague idea about Mortal Kombat, and I have a vague idea of some of these characters that are in this movie. You know, you got Raiden, you got Sonya Blade, you got Jax, you know, some of these characters in here that I'm aware of. Now, as far as, you know, whether saying, okay, did they do a great job with these characters? I don't know that I'm the right person to say that about this movie. Necessarily, but I thought this movie was a lot of fun. It's very entertaining. It's kind of a brainless movie. There's really not a lot to it. It's not thought-provoking. It's very fluffy. It's very much a movie that is carried on its action sequences. And the good thing about that is the action sequences are awesome. The action sequences in this are fantastic. I mean, starting just right off the bat, you got, you know, well, I guess I don't want to say too much, but there's, you know, right off the bat in the movie, you got this epic, like, action sequences going down. You got, you know, Mortal Kombat and Sub-Zero and, you know, some of these big kind of iconic video game characters and just... have an awesome action, man. If that's what you're going into this for, and that's what I went into this for. I went into this thinking, all right, it's probably not going to be a great movie or anything, but it's going to have awesome action, and this movie had awesome action, you know? And that's, if you're going to make a movie based on a fighting game, it better have awesome action. And you have such cool characters in here, because like, you know, Lord Raiden and Jax and, you know, all these characters, Sub-Zero and Scorpion and all this kind of stuff, even though I don't know a lot about them, they're really cool designed characters, and they have, you know, different superpowers and crazy stuff like that, that is really cool. And so it's like, yes, these are cool characters, and so, you know, I want them to have at least cool action scenes, and they definitely did that. A lot of very cool action in Mortal Kombat. The story itself is fine. It is there just enough to carry you through the action sequences and stuff. It's not gonna amaze anybody. It's not gonna do anything as far as that goes. But the story works well enough to keep you engaged, I suppose. The characters are pretty fun. Kano in this is a lot of fun. He's somewhat the comedic relief kind of thing, but they give him slightly more depth than just the comedic relief, and he's such a fun character. He's a very entertaining character. He's played by Josh Lawson in this movie. Does a great job. Probably the best character in this movie. Jax is fun in here. Sub-Zero and Scorpion. They're very big, important kind of characters in this movie, though they're not super well developed. One is just, hey, he's the good ninja guy, he's the bad ninja guy, he has ice powers, he has fire powers kind of thing. So they're kind of generic in that sense, but it's like when they show up on screen, they're like these ultra powerful characters, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The main character is apparently completely new. I figured he was from the games, and then later I heard, no, that's a completely new character. So, okay, Louis Tan plays Cole Young. So he's just a completely new character. I don't know. I would have thought he was in the games because he kind of just fit in with the other characters. He is somewhat less interesting than some of the other characters. I guess some of the other characters, the designs of them are really cool, or more cool. You know, his design is I don't know, somewhat generic as far as his, like, super suit and all that kind of stuff goes. It's fine. It's just, it's nothing amazing. You know, he's not an amazing character. And none of the characters are amazing characters, but there's some entertaining characters in here and some fun characters. And so ultimately, I mean, that's kind of just what this movie is. This movie, it's cheesy. It's self-aware. It knows it's, you know, kind of like I said before, it knows it's kind of this big budget 80s action B-movie kind of thing, and it just leans into that. It has fun with that, and it's a fun movie. You know, you don't go in expecting a lot, but you can definitely have fun with this. Oh, they bring the fatalities in here. So the thing with Mortal Kombat is when you win, if you put in the right button combination and all that kind of stuff, you can do fatalities, which is just extremely gruesome death anime. Ultimately is what it is, and so they have some of those in here that are like directly in from the game that are just morbidly violent, so I guess be aware of that, whether that makes you excited to watch it or not want to watch it, be aware of that. It's very gruesome, and it's pretty extreme. Like, this, I don't know, I guess I feel the same way about it in the movie as I do in the game. It's like, that's, it's not necessary to be that insanely violent, but that is what some people kind of play it for, is like, see all the crazy gore and stuff, which is okay, whatever. But the action itself, I think, is very cool. And then, of course, it is extreme. It is violent and gory. So I guess be aware of that going in. Ultimately, I mean, if I think you probably know what you're gonna get into with a movie like this. It's cheesy, it's dumb, and it's just kind of fun. It's a fun time. You watch it, you're not gonna be thinking too deeply about this, because there's not a lot going on in this story wise thematically or anything. It's very much kind of in one ear and out with the other, I guess, to a certain extent, but it is an entertaining movie, ultimately. What did you think of Mortal Kombat? What did you think of Wrath of Man? What did you think of Conjuring 3, or Cruella, or Army of Dead, or A Quiet Place 2? Leave your thoughts in the comments below. What? Shoot your thoughts to helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com. Let me know. Email me. Let me know what you think or whatever is on your mind. That's it for today. This is David Arrington, Helix Reviews Podcast, signing off. Bye-bye, guys.